Brothers and sisters, if you are asked, what is the most significant and meaningful day to you, what would your answer be? For worldly people, it could be January 1st, December 31st, or their date of birth. But if Christians, specifically Mamnim members, are asked the same question around this time of the year, most of them would choose this particular day, December 25th. December 25th is the birthday of our Lord who carried a harsh cross to open the path to salvation for mankind. And for Mamnim members, this day bears another special meaning. It is the day to commemorate the sacrifice of our Shepherd, which began in earnest from December 25th, 2010. So this day, December 25th, is the day when Father God offered us the most invaluable gifts by bearing tremendous sacrifice to save us. Through these precious gifts given us, we were born again spiritually on that day. That's why December 25th is such a significant day that we should never forget. It's the day we should never forget. Preparing for this precious day, have you cherished the gift of salvation from our Lord and made it more valuable? Have you kept in mind the Shepherd's exhortations for our spiritual change and achieved them with all your heart? Towards the end of the year, we often hear the word adieu. We hear phrases like adieu 2018. Here, adieu is a French word signifying goodbye forever and is not meant for a temporary parting. So, as people wrap up the year, they use this word adieu to say farewell to the year which will never come back again. Each day or each moment of our life never comes back once it passes away. So we say goodbye to every passing moment. Then, are you doing your best in life so that you will have no regrets over these moments? Namely, how sincere efforts are you making every moment of your life to prepare for December 25th, which is a precious and important day for us? Actually, I found myself falling short of boldly saying yes to this question, but preparing this message, I made up my mind once again to do my best through the remaining days until Christmas. Does anyone think it's too late to do so? Then I urge you to suppose today is the very last day of your life and make every effort. I assure you that as you do your best with such resolve, it will bring forth another precious beginning. Then, Father God will reward us with blessings and answers, which we'll need most. For Father God is love itself. He always desires us to give us what is the best. But to receive blessings and answers from Him, we have to satisfy the befitting justice. To prepare ourselves for December 25th, when Father God will bless us without reservation, and also to welcome the new year, 2019, we will talk about the seven spirits. Continuing from the last session, and Senior Pastor elaborated on the seven spirits during his Genesis lecture series back in 2009. In the last session, we went over three areas that the seven spirits measure: faith, joy, and prayer. And today, we'll delve into the thanksgiving, keeping of the commandments, and faithfulness. I urge all of you to keep today's message well in mind and qualify yourselves for Father God's blessings and answers. Brothers and sisters, fourth, the seven spirits measure our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of the fruits born in God's children. If only you have a little faith, you would make confessions of thanks no matter the situation from the bottom of your heart. Just for the grace of salvation, we can only be thankful. Although we were supposed to suffer in hell for eternity, we received grace of salvation without cost. We've gained eternal life and qualifications to live in heaven forever. How could we not be thankful for this? As saved children of God, we can always stay thankful even when there seems to be nothing to be thankful for. Moreover, the God of love guides us each step of the way as our Father. Believing in this fact, we can't help but be thankful in all circumstances. As we grow in faith, God blesses us more. In turn, we have more reasons for thanksgiving. Each day we overflow with things to be thankful for. We are thankful that God keeps us safe in this world. We are thankful that we can drive around without concerns for accidents and that we are protected from the evil forces. Like this, we can find many reasons for thanksgiving. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, "We know that no one is born of God since, but he was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." In this world are an incalculable number of diseases. Without God's protection, we could be stricken with some of them. With air and water polluted even more, the number of new diseases is on the rise. Statistics also indicate that more people are suffering from diseases. According to the Health Insurance Review and Assessment Service, the number of people diagnosed with shingles in the year 2017 surpassed 7,100,000. The number increased by 23% compared to the year 2012. Another statistic shows that over 300,000 people were newly registered as cancer patients in 2017. Compared to the year 2015, the number has increased by 90,000. The overall number of cancer patients registered until 2017 exceeds 2 million. As we find from the statistics, numerous people are tormented by diseases. But unless we commit sins, God prevents us so that protects us so that no disease can infiltrate our body. How thankful should we be for this? We should also be thankful that our body has functioned normally for dozens of years. As you know, there are countless nerve tissues and blood vessels in our body. If a blockage occurs in any of your these blood vessels, or if any of our nerves are paralyzed, our body cannot function normally. But most of you haven't seen a doctor for several years or even dozens of years, which demonstrates that God has protected you. We give all thanks and glory to Father God. Out in the world are many people who die of a disease despite great riches they have. Even if they manage to be healed of a disease, they may be stricken with another disease. There are also many cases where the same disease recurs. But living by the words, we have no concerns for diseases. How thankful should we be for this as well? Even if we get stricken with a disease, we know how we can be healed by God. In this church, we have God's power that can heal any incurable or terminal diseases. by the amazing power of God. Without spending a huge amount of money on hospital bills, we can be healed as we receive prayer by faith. Moreover, with the handkerchiefs on which the shepherd prayed, we're not afraid of any diseases. Aside from healing of diseases, we can resolve problems in our businesses and families and receive blessings. Like this, we have countless reasons for thanksgiving in our lives. Then how can we lead a happy life where reasons for thanksgiving continue to overflow? We can find the answer from the life of our shepherd. Since he accepted our Lord, his heart has always been filled with gratitude. There were times when he was in a tough situation physically. Since he founded this church, he's gone through trials which were unbearable for an ordinary man. Yet, gratitude grew bigger and bigger in his heart. He confessed, the reason he could do so was that his heartfelt gratitude gave birth to another reason for thanksgiving. He didn't lose gratitude for the love of Father God and the Lord every single moment of his life. As he always lived with heartfelt thanksgiving, every moment seemed like a Father God's gift to him. And also he didn't spend each moment of his life without thanksgiving. Always searching for reasons to be thankful for, he offered a prayer of thanksgiving to Father God. In addition to offering prayers, he expressed his heart by giving thanksgiving offerings, etc. Because he always took delight in giving thanks, reasons for thanksgiving continued to overflow in his life. Also, Father God constantly provided him with blessings and favor. Thus, we should also stay thankful in all circumstances. Do you think troubles in your life hinder you from being thankful? No, it's not your troubles that hinder you from being thankful. It's your negative thoughts, your negative views on the reality that prevents you from giving thanks. There is a legendary entrepreneur named Konosuke Matsushita who didn't consider the poor environment in his childhood as miseries. Rather, he thought such an environment made him successful. Regarding his childhood, he confessed as follows. Born in a poor family, I engaged in hard labor as a teenager, thereby piling up necessary experiences in life. Being weak and frail, I diligently worked out to keep in good shape. Because I couldn't afford to finish the school, I considered all people around me my teachers and always tried to learn from them. Rather than falling into despair, he turned his miseries into precious opportunities for success. Such a mindset led him to become a legendary entrepreneur. Brothers and sisters, I once explained about an English word, present, which means gift and the current moment, making use of its two meanings, we can make up a sentence. The present is a present, which means the current moment is a gift. For those who believe in Father God, the Lord and the Shepherd, the current moment is the best gift permitted by Father God, who intends to give us what is the best. Sometimes we may grieve over the reality that faces us. Yet, we shouldn't give up in that reality. For us not to lose that precious gift, there is an important thing we have to do. It is to ponder over the goodwill of Father God who permitted this moment. Only then can we figure out His will and realize that this moment is Father God's gift that empowers us to grow more. In doing so, we can overcome each moment of our life in thanksgiving. In order to keep in mind that each moment is Father God's gift and press on in thankfulness, it is crucial that we try not to lose the mindset we had when we fell in love, first love for God. How were the days when you were filled with the first love for God? As I prepared this message, I recall the moments when I was, weeks ago, I led the dawn prayer meeting. As I prayed in person, I was filled with gratitude. I was thankful that I can be in this sanctuary where I can pray to my heart's content, where I can cry out in prayer, and where I was also thankful that I can offer up my heart to Father God. At the same time, I also was reminded that I also remembered my school days. I once shared this with you before. I was living in the local city. My high school was about a 1 hour bus ride, and after 1 hour bus ride, I have to walk about 15 minutes to go to church. And after school, I wanted to pray, and I longed to come to the Father God's house because I was filled up with the first love for God. Usually, the school started at 7 a.m. and finished around midnight, but I was so on my way to church, I was so excited because the school finished at night. I only had 1 hour to pray in the sanctuary, and so on the way to church, I made use of the time when I was going to church. So I listened to something and I prayed, and also during my walk to church, I looked up at the sky and confessed, "Father God, I'm going to church." And one day, I had a heartbreaking incident. So 1 hour prayer was not enough for me. So I wanted to pray more after the Daniel prayer meeting. But if I did so, I had to go back home on foot. So it was, if I prayed there, I had to walk back home, and I had to walk over 1 hour. Still, I stayed in the sanctuary and prayed more. And I walked back home. It took about an hour and a half. So I looked at the sky, listening to praises. So for my problem, I relied on Father God and prayed rather than relying on the worldly ways. So I was reminded of those days while I was praying in person. Even though I had weaker faith than I have now, but I considered the Father God sanctuary so precious, and I hung on to Father God and did my best, but I compared myself to how I was back then. Even though I have a much better environment for prayer, so also the sanctuary is close to where I stay. So I reflected on myself whether I had such longing. So I resolved once again to pray more earnestly. And I had an awakening, it's not that our physical environment troubles us. It's our heart that troubles us. If our heart is, that's the awakening I had. Brothers and sisters, even if you find yourself in trouble, I urge you to be thankful with faith in God only, thereby meeting standards of the seven spirits. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 assure us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Even if you find yourself in a poor and bad environment, I challenge you to always give thanks with faith in God. Then, God will be pleased with your deeds of faith and cause all things to work together for good. And brothers and sisters, fifth, the seven spirits measure keeping of the commandments. In the Bible are many do's and don'ts and keep and throw away commands. As children of God, we ought to abide by them. God condensed all these commands into 10 and ordered us to keep them. They are, you know what that is? They are the 10 commandments. The seven spirits precisely evaluate how well we keep the 10 commandments. Based on their evaluations, He answers our prayers. He gives us answers and blessings to those who keep His commandments well. But He cannot answer the prayer of those who don't live by the commandments. Why is keeping of the commandments one of the conditions for receiving God's answer? Our receiving God's answers and blessings means that we are loved by God. But our Father God does all things according to the justice. I mean, He doesn't answer or bless just anyone. Only when we are worthy of God's love according to the justice, He can love us, as said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. We also find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Then, what does the Bible say is the most definite evidence for our love for God? It is keeping His commandments. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Also, John chapter 14, verse 21 reminds us, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Like this, those who indeed love God keep his commandments. They don't keep them grudgingly. Out of their love for God, they keep them with a joyful heart. Of course, for those who are weak in faith may find it difficult to live by His commandments and fail to keep them perfectly. But as for those who are still weak in faith, God considers their efforts as faith. Even when they are sometimes fail to keep His commandments, if they try to live by the words again, God sees them as lovely. But it's not the case for those who've long been a Christian and should have already become mature in faith. The more days you live as a Christian, the more perfectly you have to keep His commandments. Namely, you have to demonstrate a higher level of these in terms of keeping the commandments, as the senior pastor explained. Let me explain what it is to demonstrate a higher level of these. So, what is the ninth commandment? It is not to bear false witness against our neighbors, as said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Recently, to bear false witness is to claim you did something that you didn't do, or vice versa. Such false witness may have a tremendous impact on someone's decisions. Especially in a court, false testimonies could make a guilty person innocent or make an innocent person guilty. In his sermon, Senior Pastor once asked us, if you stand witness in a court, you will only tell the truth, won't you? No doubt, all of you, mommy members, will do so, will say amen. But this alone doesn't ensure that you keep the ninth commandment. At times, you may have to tell the truth for another person, but keeping silent in those situations can be a deceitful act. Let's say you see someone suffering false charges because of another person's faults, but you stay silent because you are close to the person who committed the faults. Then, you can't be considered qualified by the seven spirits who watches you with blazing eyes. The more you grow in faith, the more truthful your heart becomes. So you can't accept even a trivial deceit. In the end, you won't even tell white lies. A white lie refers to a lie told to protect someone or make him feel comfortable. But as you grow in faith, you refrain from telling even such lies. Brothers and sisters, our shepherd mentioned that in conveying someone's message, adding to or subtracting from his words also falls under the category of bearing false witness. It is the case where you alter, distort someone's message according to your thoughts or feelings. But such acts also disappear as you grow more in faith. As your faith grows, you rid yourself of fleshly thoughts or your own feelings. As a result, you can see, hear, and speak about the truth as is. Once you become such a person, you wouldn't judge or condemn another person at will, would you? Passing judgment on someone without knowing his heart or situations and sharing it with others is also bearing false witness. As you grow in faith, you don't bear such false witness. This demonstrates that people show a different level of these depending on their level of faith. Even if you think, if I were at a court, I would never bear false witness, that alone doesn't mean you perfectly keep the ninth commandment. You have to show a different level of these according to your level of faith. The same can be applied in keeping other commandments as well. Then, what should we do to show a higher level of these? We have to refrain from thinking, I know well enough, or I am keeping the commandments. Even those who live by the words may have a self-righteousness and frameworks they don't even realize for themselves. Because they think they've cast off untruth to some extent and know the truth, their self-righteousness develops. As what they believe is God's will solidifies, it becomes their frameworks. The problem is, such self-righteousness and frameworks prevent them from figuring out God's heart and will. Even though they have to keep pondering over God's will, their self-righteousness and frameworks cause them to think, I am doing according to God's will, and hinder them from going forward. As a result, they end up focusing only on these, which is not what God really wants, or they may act in a way that deviates from God's will. Thus, we have to conduct ourselves not according to our self-righteousness and frameworks, but with the heart that God wants. We have to keep pondering with what kind of heart would Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd do this. We have to set the standard in this manner. If you perfectly keep His commandments with all your heart and sincerity, and in a way that the Father God wants, God will surely give you greater blessings and answers. Hopefully, all of us will receive Father God's blessings and answers without reservation. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, sixth, the seven spirits measure faithfulness. The seven spirits evaluate how faithfully and sincerely we fulfill our God-given duties. Therefore, we have to stay faithful in our duties as pastors, Levi workers, elders, deacons, etc. Whoever has been assigned God-given duties has to consider their duty precious and fulfill them well. Just because we are faithful in our work for God, that can't be considered perfect faithfulness. Apart from being faithful in our duties at church, we have to be faithful in our families, places of work, etc. Only then can it be called perfect faithfulness. As husbands, wives, children, or parents, we have to stay faithful wherever we are. Of course, when we have to choose between God's work and our secular work, if we have faith, we would definitely choose God's work. But that doesn't mean we can neglect our secular work. Without leaning towards one side, we have to do all our duties for God's glory and in a proper way in the truth. Brothers and sisters, Senior Pastor explained about cases where people faced a big trouble even though they'd long been a Christian and had a title in a church. As these people asked Senior Pastor to pray for them for the resolution of their problems, they confessed that they used to carry out their duties with passion but became lukewarm in their duties at some point. As they began to seek their benefits in their situation, their hearts changed. They used to be faithful, but why did their heart change? Even while they worked for God faithfully, they neglected spiritual faithfulness. To be faithful in a spiritual sense, we have to diligently circumcise our hearts, namely, continually wash our robes. Those who are spiritually faithful always stay faithful in their God-given duties as well. But what would happen unless we circumcise our hearts? When we find ourselves in a difficult situation, our fleshly and evil attributes are provoked and prevent us from keeping our hearts. Thus, in order to stay faithful without changing, we have to focus on spiritual faithfulness as well. Even though we don't let go of our duties, unless we stay filled up with the Spirit, we may carry out our duties reluctantly. We just barely fulfill our duties or even fail to do so. Then, how could we be considered qualified according to the seven spirits measure? Therefore, for us to stay filled up with the Spirit in carrying out our duties, we have to make sure to circumcise our hearts and cast off all forms of evil. What takes away our spiritual fullness are not people around us or our poor environment. It is evil remaining in our hearts. Thus, I urge you to keep in mind the importance of spiritual faithfulness. If God had only wanted our physical faithfulness, He wouldn't have created man in the first place, because around Him are numerous angels which are obedient and faithful. But what God wanted was His children showing heartfelt faithfulness out of their love for Him. Because Jesus loved Father God, He obeyed to the point of death while on earth. The same went for Elijah, Moses, Paul, Peter, and John. They all showed perfect faithfulness until their life ended on earth. The confessions of the Apostle Paul during Senior Deaconess Camp's special praise, Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 2 verse 8 says, "For he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles." After the Apostle Paul met our Lord, he carried out his duty to the point of martyrdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 24 through 27 describe his ministry. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among the false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold, and an exposure. He couldn't eat properly or clothe himself properly. He was beaten with rods, stoned, and mocked by people. Although he suffered many hardships, he didn't feel distressed or frustrated. Rather, he thought all these sufferings and persecutions pushed him to move forward, and he rejoiced and gave thanks from the bottom depth of his heart. So he confessed, he kept his love for the souls and the Lord, and he engraved his love in his heart. So he confessed in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Even before He was beheaded, He confessed as follows, Beloved Lord, knowing that I will see you soon, my each step towards the execution place is filled with joy and thanksgiving. Although my physical body is bound by a rope, my soul is free, and I'm not afraid of death at all. Imagining that I will see my Lord whom I've missed so much, I take each step with a fluttering heart. That was his confession before his execution. After he completed his duty, he was filled with hope of seeing his beloved Lord, so he wasn't distressed or frightened by death at all. Brothers and sisters, I ask all of you to be all the more faithful, taking after our Lord and our fathers of faith. Since he found his church, our shepherd has never lost focus on his work for God's kingdom. On July 25, 1982, he offered the first service with 13 people, including 4 children. Until he founded this church, he'd always offered nightly prayers. Even after founding this church, he kept up. Back then, he led the all-night prayer meeting from 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. Right after that, he led the dawn prayer meeting. Because he was the only one who could lead the dawn prayer meeting, he did it all by himself. Even so, he didn't skip these prayer meetings even once, with an excuse that he was tired or didn't feel good. After the dawn prayer meeting, he took a short break and went to the seminary. After coming back from the seminary, did he take a rest? No, he looked after many sick people. Because rumors about him had spread across Korea, many patients stayed in our sanctuary to be healed. So he looked after these patients and visited church members. He dealt with each and every person with utmost care. Among church members were many elementary, middle, or high school students who had to transfer to different buses on their way to church. Even though they didn't have much money, they traveled such a long distance to come to church. Our shepherd cherished these students and served them with love. Whether it was Saturday or Sunday, when they went back home, he made sure to take them to the bus stop. He waved them goodbye. offering them bus tokens. He gave them bus tokens. He didn't give them tokens just for their travel back home, but for their next travel from home to church. For those who transferred to two different buses on their way back, he gave them 6 tokens. But he didn't financially support them. We give all thanks and glory to Father God. But he didn't financially support them out of the church's treasury. He saved up money and bought these tokens out of his own pocket. Whenever there was a newcomer, he considered them as a precious treasure, never to lose even one of the souls. He always prayed for them and served them with love and care. So back then, there was none who left the church. There were newcomers every week. As you served them with such care, the church enjoyed a continuous revival. Because our church has grown into a big church with a huge congregation, has his faithfulness cooled down? As you know, the answer is no. His passion for the souls hasn't changed even a little. He boldly confessed that his love for the souls and prayer had never cooled down, but became all the more fervent. That's how he's been living. He's devoted all of his time for Father God's work and for the souls. As he made that confession, he said, he asked, pastors, Levi workers, and all church workers, I ask you to examine your lives. Has your faithfulness become different from what it was like before? Even though you maintain your title or God-given duties, has your passion or fervor cooled down? If you indeed have faith, as you spend more days as a Christian, it's only natural that you become more faithful. Only then can you be considered qualified according to the seven spirits measure. I hope that you will achieve this kind of faithfulness, which I have discussed so far, thereby being qualified according to the seven spirits measure. Today, we've gone over the message on the seven spirits, which is essential for us to receive Father God's blessings and answers on the precious day of December 25th. Again, the seven spirits refer to the heart of God who evaluates the seven different areas in order to give us answers. If we are declared qualified by the seven spirits who evaluate us according to our measure of faith, we can receive answers to our prayer. What are the seven spirits? Faith, joy, prayer, thanksgiving, keeping of the commandments, faithfulness, and love. Today, we've gone over 3 areas, thanksgiving, keeping of the commandments, and faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, to be declared qualified by the seven spirits, to walk down the narrow path to New Jerusalem, may not be easy sometimes. We have to give up our benefits and sacrifice ourselves in various ways. There are times when it feels like your trouble is not resolved and you stay where you are even after you did your best. It feels like Father God is not even with you and you are left alone. Even though you know that Father God is with us, when you fall into great agony by trials, you don't feel like He is with you. But you are never alone. Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd have never left you. They are always by your side. Father God and our Lord have never left us even a single moment. In our grief, we forget the fact that they are with us. But if we look back, we can realize Father God and our Lord have led us through trials, carrying us on their backs, and they have protected us. And our shepherd is guiding us with love for Father God and our Lord. December 25th is just around the corner. Our shepherd has never stopped his walk for the souls, and he has unceasingly given up all of himself for us. He's never forgotten us, his sheep, even a single moment, and led us through with all of himself. In the book Confessions, we find one of his confessions that enabled us to deeply feel his heart. It's the confession our shepherd made while he was filling up the measure of the justice for our spiritual change and blessings. It goes as follows. On my eyes, my ears, my head, and my body, even though the fact that I cannot do anything as I want tortures me, my heart is still completely filled with love that enables me to do anything. I overcome this moment solely with the power of that love. This hardship cannot be endured even with faith or hope, and I'm enduring it only with love. When I lie down or sit, or even when I can't even sense that I'm holding a spoon in my hand, even when I cannot feel myself as to whether I'm standing or not, I'm looking up to Father, only the Father, so desperately and earnestly. I forget that I'm a person, that I have a body, that it's evening now, or it's time for my beloved church members to come together. For the last 31 years, my heart has never left them, the flock of the Father. It is saddening and tormenting that I cannot even sense that it is time they gather and the time they offer worship service. But my heart is filled with love, more love than any other time. Father, is my sight dim because I shed too many tears? Are my ears dull because I heard so many things that couldn't be contained? But this is the least of my concerns. My love and the fact that the souls are changing get me on my feet, and I gather my strength again for the glory of the Father which is at the end of this waiting. Brothers and sisters, never let go of this shepherd's deep love. Even while he was drained of energy, even though he was still for our spiritual change, he stretched out his hands, held out his hands to get us back up. And never let go of the love of our Lord who walked the same way as our shepherd 2,000 years ago to open the path to salvation. Never let go of the love of the Father who had our Lord and the shepherd sacrifice themselves and has never stopped loving us. Empowered by their love, let us keep pressing on until we enjoy blessings on December 25th. I pray that on that blessed day, all of us can express our hearts to Father God, the Lord and the Shepherd, without reservation.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts, and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.